This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on a Wednesday, Fesco and Dusty with you, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. We'll be joined by Jay Binkley here in just a second as the NFL made some moves yesterday, in case you missed it. I don't know how you would have. Well, I do, actually. Russell Wilson's to the Giants. They might have a top three quarterback room in the NFL. That's a joke.
Danny DeVito, Russell Wilson, and Jameis Winston, that's baby. Right. Let's go.
That's if I was Hard Knocks, that's where I'd go.
How could you not go there, right?
That's why you just wait and, you know, you don't need North Carolina. You go to the New York Giants camp and just be like, all right, let's follow Winston, Russell Wilson, and then this Tommy DeVito guy that's got his own Italian mob boss as his agent.
Right. So. Did you see that guy at the Super Bowl, by the way?
I don't know, the agent guy. I don't know if I did.
Oh, God. He was walking around in that top hat and the pinstripe suit.
Oh, he was on Radio Row, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was there. That's a hell of a quarterback room. So the Giants just gave up dealing with Aaron Rodgers. They're like, there's nobody in the draft. Fine. Russell Wilson, can you come in here and hang out for a year and see what you can do?
That's hilarious.
I think it should be open competition, though, between him and Jameis Winston for the job. Don't you guys?
Yeah. And then.
Yes.
And then Stephon Diggs signs a massive contract with New England Patriots.
New England. What was that contract?
A lot of money.
God.
They got so much money, it's stupid.
I mean, insane amount of money for Stephon Diggs, right?
They'll play for 2 years, and they'll have a player option on year three, exactly. And then he'll be out. You know, he got all his guaranteed money. But it is Wednesday, 6:40-ish. Let's go to Jay Binkley. No? We don't want to go to JB? We love it.
It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
It is that time on a Wednesday with Jay Binkley. Binkley, what say you about yesterday's NFL action that kind of came out of nowhere yesterday with Russell Wilson and Stephon Diggs?
I just know that the Hard Knocks should be the Giants, and I know that they did that. They've done stuff like this before, but that definite must-see TV with Jameis and Russell Wilson, that quarterback room. The room that does not have a quarterback. They just don't. And the funny thing is, are they going to draft one or not? Well, they were in the position to probably draft one, but they realized this quarterback class is not what it's supposed to be, so obviously they go the Russell Wilson route. As far as Stephon Diggs, I can see this thing lasting 1 year and then bowing out of it after 1 year. I think Stephon Diggs' best days are behind him. And the fun thing is, you know, I tweeted it out right around free agency. There's a correlation that the highest spending teams don't make the playoffs.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's like 8 out of 10 of the top 3 spending teams of free agency don't make the playoffs the next year. The Patriots have gone absolutely wild in spending. I don't see any. The Tennessee Titans, remember, they were big spenders last year on defense, and they're the number one pick in the draft. And then, of course, the Carolina Panthers actually led the NFL in free agency spending, and how'd that turn out?
Yeah, not good. I mean, those are the numbers you throw out there when people get excited about, why aren't we signing this guy or signing that guy? It's because when you win in March, you don't win when it matters most, you know?
No, you don't. And it just shows how much your team actually needs. And then you're talking about that cliff that guys fall off on the NFL really quick. And if a team really thinks that player is going to help their team, they're going to do everything they can to try to keep that player. It's why the Chiefs, you know, they said Trey Smith's going to be a valuable player and we need him. So they evaluated it and said, all right, that arrow is still pointing straight up. Let's go ahead and keep him with Kansas City because he's a player that they're going to need.
So how far is Shedeur Sanders and everybody not named Cam Ward at the quarterback position truly going to fall in this draft?
I don't think they're going to fall. I think they're going to. Those two are going to go really high. Well, obviously, Cam Ward's probably going number one overall. But it's, would they be if there was other quarterbacks in this class? I don't think so. I don't think this quarterback class is very strong. I don't think people think this quarterback class is very strong. I think it's Cam Ward, clearly number one. And I guess Shedeur, number two. But some team's going to take the chance on him. And if it works out, it works out, but it's probably not going to do that. And we're seeing that more and more with quarterbacks in the NFL. The guys like Sam Darnold, we knew he was going to get a big contract, but at the end of the year, I was like, oh, Sam Darnold's costing himself money because he was bad the last couple of games. But of course, with the quarterback situation the way it is in the NFL, he was going to make money. And the fact that the Giants, you know, this is Brian Daboll. I mean, the signing of Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, that guarantees he's going to be gone next year. I mean, you know, if they drafted a quarterback, maybe he hangs on. Maybe they're like, well, you know what, we'll give him another chance if he can develop this quarterback. But the fact that you're going Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, if they don't draft a quarterback, which I don't think they're going to do at this point, if they don't, I think Brian Daboll is gone.
Beakley, I want to bring this up because I remember when Rodgers was in the draft, he fell like all the way to like, what, like 24 or something like that to Green Bay. Do you think Shedeur has that big of a drop?
No, I think some team's going to be quarterback starved, and they're going to get Shedeur. I mean, Shedeur has literally been all over the place. Mm. I mean, he's on all the places. There, people are saying, you know, number two, that Cleveland's going to go Shedeur now, and that he's going to fall out of the first round. He's all over the place. I think three quarterbacks are going in the first round, and I think the third one will be Jackson Dart.
So speaking of the first round, the Kansas City Chiefs, they've obviously brought a Minnehue back since the last time we talked to you. Still think is it defensive tackle, offensive tackle? Do you go tackle, and then, you know, whatever happens in the third round with those two picks? But do you still think the first round pick, like where are we at with that in a new week with a new mock?
I'm staying defense with the Chiefs. They're just so loaded at those positions. If you want a quality position, it's the defensive line in the first round where the Chiefs can still get somebody of real quality at 31. That's the direction they'll go. But yeah, I know they brought in free agents, but you're not running it back exactly with those guys. You want to create depth. You want to create the situation where you draft a receiver maybe in the second or third, and you're pushing Juju in training camp to make the team or not. You want to draft another running back and give the Chiefs a decision. So the Chiefs are, I know that it looks like, you know, running it back status quo with the guys they have, but I do believe this draft will be full of guys to give them depth and push for playing time up in St. Joe, but I don't think anything's really changed, to be honest with you. Yeah, they brought Kareem Hunt back and all that. That's fine, and Juju's back, but that doesn't mean the Chiefs aren't going to be active as far as what they do. And not only that, there are smoke screens in the NFL where teams do bring back players. It looks like they're set, and they want to go a certain direction with players, and that's what they do. You always create that smoke screen for other teams. But I think defensive tackle or edge is where the Chiefs should go first. Yeah, Pinnell's back, and Omenihue. I like the Omenihue. I think there's a nice bring back for the Chiefs. But as far as does it affect what they do in the draft, I don't think it affects it at all.
Jay, do you think this is the most pressure that Brett Veach has ever been under pre-draft? You know, got the largest laundry list of needs, maybe?
I think, I think he was kind of under a lot of pressure that Eagles Super Bowl win that they won. because I always remember him holding up that Lombardi trophy at the parade and said, this is what a rebuild looks like because of the money that they had tied up in certain players. And Mahomes took more cap money than any winning quarterback in NFL history had ever done. And you think of Nazi Johnson, you know, contributing. You think of Jalen Watson. You think of Isaiah Pacheco on that team. He needed that draft class. Like, he needed to find that running back. When he even said it before the draft, he says, I think I can get a 1,000-yard rusher, you know, in the seventh round or undrafted. Of course, he hasn't hit that mark, but he's been close to it. And I think he rebuilt the team that year. But I think this year, right there with it. I mean, I think that year, that the rookie year of Watson definitely was part of that 2022 draft class. I think they needed those guys because of all the money that's been spent elsewhere, and you need the draft. Because what the Chiefs have done is set the bar, and we see all these teams paying their quarterbacks, and they're not winning. They're not winning the Super Bowl. Chiefs are the only team that's really gone out and given their quarterback a monster contract, and they're winning Super Bowls. We've seen Josh Allen get all the money. We've seen Lamar Jackson. We've seen Joe Burrow. We've seen Justin Herbert. We've seen all these guys get Dak Prescott. We've seen all these guys get monster contracts, but they don't win. But the Chiefs have found a way to win and do it with the Mahomes contract, which I think is absolutely brilliant. They just restructure and do everything else. But they've always talked about, you know, limiting this quarterback salary cap or ceiling to where they can go. But the Chiefs shouldn't want that because they figured out a way to win and pay their quarterback. But, yeah, I do believe there's a certain amount of pressure to find depth. And more mocks have the Chiefs going offensive tackle, even though Kuiper did. I don't think the Chiefs are going offensive tackle at 31. I think this is very similar to the year where they went and traded the Ravens for Orlando Brown. It was all tackles in the first round. Everybody was saying Sam Cosmi and Liam Eisenberg and Alex Leatherwood and all these guys. And the Chiefs are like, nah, we're going to try to go out and get Orlando Brown, and they did. And is Jalen the answer long-term at left tackle? No, but he is a fifth-round pick. And could the Chiefs draft somebody in the mid-rounds and hope that he materializes in a year or two? Maybe so. Maybe they throw a dart on that. But I don't see tackle in the first round for the Chiefs. A lot of people do, but they're going on the short-arm guys. You know, Andy Reid does not like short-arm guys. So all these mocks that I continue to see these short-arm guys to the Chiefs, I scratch my head.
All right, Beakley, I hope you have your nachos ready and your Polish and your sauerkraut, onions, and peppers. Tomorrow's opening day. It's one of the greatest days of the year, buddy. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, what a day for weather for tailgating and opening day. What a day.
Horny. All right, Beakley, we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
See you guys.